Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African-born and London-based singer-songwriter Anna Wolf signed her first record deal at age 14. She's a self-taught musician who started writing songs at 5 years old. Throughout her career, Anna has collaborated with esteemed producers and accomplished musicians, including Zach Loy, Tim Palmer, Anara Peterson, and Antoine Rami. She also forms part of the endorsement team at Flare Audio, which includes creatives such as Stephen Fry. From sharing the stage with iconic artists like Johnny Clegg on his final tour to headlining sold-out shows in South Africa, the UK, and Europe, Anna's magnetic presence continues to captivate audiences worldwide. Her talent as a songwriter and performer garnered recognition from renowned producer and remixer Pete Boxter Martin, who offered her a production deal under his esteemed company, Three Bears Entertainment. This partnership blossomed into singles such as Believer and Silence, both garnering international acclaim and media coverage. In 2022, Anna received a South African Music Awards nomination for her album Romance Was Born. Further nominations went alongside categories such as Most Innovative Artist at the AUX Awards. Anna's artistic demand has only intensified over time, leading to collaborations with notable musicians such as Jamie Morrison, the drummer from Stereophonics, and Alex Thomas, known for his work with Air and Anna Kelvey. Tracks from the album The Dark Horse, namely Shaped Like a Gun and Wolf, resonated with audiences worldwide when featured on Fox Network's hit show So You Think You Can Dance for 2 seasons. In 2019, Anna made history as the first South African artist to be awarded the grand prize at Unsigned Only, an esteemed competition for emerging talent. Renowned musicians and industry executives, including Robert Smith from The Cure and Amy Mann, comprised the illustrious judging panel. Anna recently added acting to her repertoire, starring alongside BAFTA nominee Diane Quick and Screen Actors Guild Award winner Bernard Hill in the film Forever Young, which was released in 2024. Anna's upcoming EP, Wild Animals, is produced by Rex Roulette, and she has added author to her career by releasing her poetry book in 2024. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Anna Wolf.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am currently in London and I'm doing fabulous, thank you.
So now let's rewind. At what age did you feel, cool, you want to be in the music creation, entertainment world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
It was an interesting one. It was quite poignant. It was a poignant moment of knowing what I wanted to do. At age 13, I think I was, I saw an Avril Lavigne music video. And I still remember it distinctly. It was a Skater Boy single. And I was like, oh, wait, I know this. I can do this. And I ran down the stairs. And the first thing I asked my dad was, Dad, can you please buy me an acoustic guitar? And that was it.
What were the next steps? So you got that as a teenager. And then how did that move forward?
Yeah, so I quite quickly move forward with things in terms of like once my mind is set on something, I go for it. So I literally ran down those stairs. Hey, Dad, get me an acoustic. My dad got me acoustic that same week. I got guitar lessons for a bit. Then I started writing songs very, very quickly after that. It was very, very easy songs as well, like meaning because I could barely even play properly. But I knew I had something happening that was very exciting, and then started playing little shows all over the place, anywhere that I could play a show. I remember even playing at a shell garage when I was like 14 years old. They had a stage set up. It was like the opening of a new garage.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yes, yeah, let me perform in this parking lot. And I did. And I had many of those shows, but I knew that somewhere something was going to bite. Somewhere a connection was going to see me. And that was the case. I played a show at a beauty contest that my aunt actually organized for me, and played the show, had an opportunity to have like one song on stage. And sure as hell, like someone in the audience was from a record label and they invited me for a meeting. And that was, I was about 14, like I just turned 14, kind of, yeah, roughly thereabouts. I can't be exact about the age, but, and then I did, I signed my first record deal at that age, and that was it. That was it. And then from there, one finds yourself writing for other people and starting new bands and projects. And it was really that. It was many years of just being immersed in the music industry. And I always say it wouldn't leave me alone. Whenever I would think that I would want to take a break from it, or that perhaps this wasn't quite for me because it is a very intense, very tough industry, it just kept being. So I knew there was something more than just me wanting to start a band. I knew that there was, I guess, the sense of being able to serve in a really beautiful artistic way.
Okay, so I recently saw Anna at the Forest Sessions Musical Festival in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I very much picked up that your music and your instrumentation and your production and your words are very much on a unconscious, subconscious healing energy level for the listeners. Has that always been the service that you speak about, or has that been a more of a focus over time of creation?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I didn't know that that was happening. When I was younger, for me, it was starting a band and, hey, mom and dad, the band's going to make it, you know? So it was just a dream. I could also feel that there was a big shift. I think like when you're young, you know, your perspective on life is different. And I can only speak for myself, but I was definitely, when I was in my teens, way more in a self-serving space of like, this makes me feel A, B, and C, and therefore I do it, and these are my goals, and this is my intention. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. I think one needs that to propel you forward and give you contrast and, I guess, get you on a journey of becoming more and more self-aware. And that's where I find myself now, where I started noticing that there was something more at play here. That there was, it was the music itself that was healing, and the frequencies and the vibration of that. But it was also bigger than me, that I was being guided as to how to set up the set list for the show, or how to do what in each specific song. The best way to put it, a couple of years back, I started telling people that I would channel on stage. I think any artist channels. I think we all have the ability to channel if we recognize that, or if we call it something else. Mm. And for me, it's channeling. It's about going on stage and meditating in a space where something takes over. You know, I think as an artist and as anyone who's gifted as we all are, when we tap into that something that we're good at, I do believe that it's your higher self that takes over. And that's very much where the Anna Wolf shows are kind of playing at.
Are you still writing for other artists at this time, or is it mainly focused on your own?
Currently, I'm writing just for myself, but I'm more in a space now where I'm collaborating with other artists on the writing front. Yeah.
Collaborating with them for your own music and just...
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, let's dive into your creative brain from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating that song. Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? We've already discussed that it's on a higher conscious level. But let's unpack your creative process from 0 to that end creation of a song.
It really depends on where I'm at. Lately, I've been writing almost how I would in 2012, when I did the album The Dark Horse, it was very much that same similar style where I would get myself in a room with an instrument and off the bat write the song from beginning to end without stopping, and then hardly ever going back and making changes. So that's kind of the space I'm in right now, which I haven't been in for many years. So that's an interesting process that I'm going through. It's almost like I probably have a lot of stories to write about, and therefore it comes so easily. Mm. Where prior, it would be a case of a hook just coming to me, like a melody or a line or a specific story that someone told me. And then I would take that story, I'd take that specific word that I would hear in the story that would just land differently for me, and I'd kind of run with that. Mm. So in the past, there wasn't really a recipe for it. It's, but now more so, I think it's more the sense of being able to be in a space where I can write from beginning to end without ever thinking it. And I think that's a really great place to be as a writer.
So you mentioned that you started off with the guitar. How many instruments do you actually play?
I play quite a few, but I'm definitely not going to say that I'm a master at the other instruments. I would say my voice is, yes, we can count that as an instrument.
Yes.
Acoustic guitar, bass, drums, piano. I write. I really enjoy writing when I play on piano. I would say all kinds of instruments. I haven't really dabbled that much in fretless instruments like violin or so forth. But yeah, that's it.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. I think you are. I've gathered from our previous meeting, you are aware of this. For the listeners, NLP, there's various elements of it, but there's the processing section of how people process information. People have a dominant, secondary, and tertiary one, and they are either visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Visual people create pictures on the information. Auditory people, it's about the words and the sentences and the paragraphs. Kinesthetic people, it's about the body language, tone of voice, energy, and so forth. Now, focusing specific on your processing skill and when you're listening to music, not other areas of your life, because you might go into other areas of the processing, just some music. So when you're listening to music of your own or by the artists, are you creating pictures? Are you hearing the words, or is it about the emotion?
It's physical for me. So goosebumps, the tummy would turn. It would be the literal feeling of warm and cold energy across the body. Yeah.
So I'd say that's kind of aesthetic. But then when you are listening to songs by other artists, are you able to relax and just enjoy it for what it is, or is your creative brain unpacking?
Oh, I love that. I can listen to music with lyrics only certain times of the month.
Okay.
And then certain times of the month, I need to listen to either classical or no music at all. Lyrics tend to take me to places that I don't necessarily want to be in, meaning there's this famous line from Machine Gun Kelly where he says, "I romanticize the wrong things for the wrong reasons." And I can really relate to that. And I think because music has been the medium that has saved me, especially, you know, when I was a kid, that used to be my escape. I think my brain naturally builds stories and scenarios that are 80% of the time not true.
Yeah.
And now being in a space where I'm like happily married, like I'm in a healthy lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. If you cue something that is from my past, that's where I was in a different space, I won't say I go there in its entirety. There's a feeling that happens and I don't like it.
Okay.
So I'm very conscious of what lyrics or music I introduce into my life. Yeah.
I understand specifically what you're talking about, because certain traumas and stuff that happened to me as a child and stuff, obviously you still deal with them. And one of the still things that I'm dealing with in my brain is that if my brain sometimes, and I want to say in the past, my brain often goes to the worst case scenario. So if person A doesn't respond to me, it's like, they hate me. I've done the worst thing in the world. They never want to talk to me again. Anytime, they're just busy. And I'll stew on it for like 5 or 6 days. And this has been happening this week. And person sent me a WhatsApp today saying, "Oh, so sorry. She's been hectic, crazy. And I've been going crazy in my brain thinking it was like me."
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's funny. I had this conversation yesterday. Exactly that verbatim. Saying that I think we sometimes, to your point, we overthink and we immediately go, "Was I a bit too much? Did I say something? Was it me?" And then to your point again, they eventually then get back and say, "Oh, sorry, I was so busy," etc. Yeah. I mean, how many times have I done it where I would, you know, genuinely sincerely want to reply to someone, but, you know, something quickly, you know, starts happening and then my attention isn't there. So a lot of the times it is that. And also a lot of the times people don't even open emails. Like a person's emails. If I'm talking about like an agency, if you're an actor or you're sending out your resume or your showreel or whatever, a lot of the times these big corporates are just too busy focusing on other clients. Obviously, it's all context-based, but anyway, yeah, to your point, I feel you.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
The feeling, the physicalness of it, the visceral, wild, freeing space that I get to experience, that I so wish every human being can experience in their lives and should experience in their lives in whatever medium that they choose to do, for work or just, you know, taking time for oneself. But yeah, it would be a physical thing.
I'm that guy who's always up in front, enjoying the moment. I'll take my phone out for a couple of videos, a couple of pics, and I put it away. I notice a lot of the people around me have their cell phones out for a lot of the time, videoing, tweeting, posting, whatever they're doing. From your experience and perception of that and receiving that, do you feel it takes away, not necessarily from your visceral feeling, but from the connection between yourself and the audience, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I think there's something really cool about it. I think for many years, well, as far as we now know, the iPhone has been in existence. I've been quite against it. And there's a lot of people that are against it, technology and so forth. But I actually think that there's a way that that can serve oneself. I think the whole thing about being able to capture a moment and then have that forever, I think that is cool. I think it's just a different format. It's a different way of capturing a moment. Now we can go the Edgar Toll route of going, yeah, but it's all about the now and it's about that presence and it's about really feeling something and seeing it for what it is and then letting it go. And that's it, and letting it be. And there's something really beautiful said about that. But I think it is two different things. I think we're very much moving into a space where technology is getting more and more so. It's getting more an advanced space. And I think there's, if we can learn to work with it, if we can learn how to educate ourselves and move alongside it, I think we can, there's a lot of good that it can also do for the world. But again, it's only within context of your specific question. I think it's a very broad topic, of course. So no, I don't think, I think it's quite cool when one is on stage and people grab for their phones. I think especially when people watch the show for the first time, that is all, every time a response, because I think it's so unexpected. It's not just someone who, and look, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think we're so conditioned to perhaps thinking that unless someone has given you a brief of an animal show, then you can't know what to expect. But I think it's just quite out of the box.
Yes.
I'd like to think quite out of the box. So therefore, it can be quite jarring for some people. Some people take out their phones, some people stand up and leave the show, you know?
Yeah.
So it can swing either way, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's cool, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because it's just a mirror for them. Whatever's bothering them, it's just you mirroring something within them that they're not recognizing and they're not ready to deal with at that time. Interesting enough.
Wow, yeah.
I was in a theater play, a one-woman show, just sidetracking, talking specifically on this, called My Left Breast, about a woman who had cancer and her story. The woman portraying it had not had cancer. And it was first evening, and about 20, 30 minutes before the end of the show, someone in the audience stood up and started screaming, "How dare you? You've never had cancer. You've never had experience chemo." She was screaming that to pull her out. And I was like, whoa, you know, you need to go for dealings. You haven't dealt with what happened to you, because that mirror was so strong. So it was very interesting how people don't realize the mirrors, which I find quite interesting. And it's a reminder for myself, but sometimes I forget.
same for me. Like, I love that. I feel we are a collective and we're all one and we're all moving within the same space. But at the same time, we're singular,
yes,
you know, and I think we project all the time. We are walking projections. So for me, when I have a crappy week, I immediately go, hold up, where am I at? Like, what's going on here? Because I'm a firm believer that what you experience, you attract.
Oh yes.
So And that is hard for me to, that was a thing that I grappled with for a very long time. I hated when I heard that statement the first time. I was like, how dare you? This is ridiculous. Wait, so you're saying I deserve this? You know, there's, of course, it's a very layered topic, but there's also a very simple way to approach that and clear that for a lot of people that might be hearing this going, you know, I hate this chick. What is she? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean I'm attracting this? You know, anyway, but through life, I've definitely, yeah, that's kind of like my go-to. And also the other thing, when one does experience that and you are a believer of that, I think the first thing I do is just be really gentle with yourself. I think we can so often, this is what I used to do, so often beat myself up about feeling that way or going, well, you see, you always do this, you know, this always happens to you. And I think that's the first thing that one can kind of address and just be softer with oneself. Yes. And I feel like that's the journey of becoming your own best friend.
My definition of what we're talking about, the law of attraction, is what we talk about, focus on, put energy into, joke about, stress about, we create. So you reference about in the beginning where you said, how dare you? Because a lot of people think, well, it's easier to blame world, society, sister, mother, brother, sister, and auntie than to look in the mirror and say, okay, well, how have I created this? Because if they're blaming everyone else, then it's like, it's easy. If they're looking in the mirror, it's like they have to really dive deep in and figure out, what about this have I manifested for myself?
It's so intense when you realize that. Yeah. When it truly, but this is the thing, because I have beautiful family members in particular who I love dearly, who will probably listen to this, right? And probably ask me, which person are you talking about? But, and I look, I can apply myself to this.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was there for sure, where I would go, okay, cool. If this is me, well, then show me, you know, show me then, because I think it's me, but like, but then that moment would like last for just like a few days. And then I'd be back onto my old patterns. So my point is not to go all long winded about it, but my thing is like, if that truly lands, that's where, to your point, like where that like opening up the wounds again, you know, because you think you fixed them and then delving in. And that is a journey. That's the journey that one needs to go on. But a lot of people go on it. They don't even know they're on it, which is amazing. But I guess that awareness does help.
Exactly. Because then that being more conscious, then they don't have to go through the same learnings over and over again. They can just go through it once and then not have to go through a cycle over and over again, because being conscious makes you allow grounded into your concretization to understand, cool, I've learned this lesson, I can now move forward.
Yes, I so agree on that. I think we live in these themes. There was a couple of themes for me that have always come up, and I have to really go, okay, this theme keeps coming up for you. What is this? Because it's not just in the brother. It's not just in the sister. It's not just in the father or the person you work with. It's not just in the bus driver. Like, it's evident that it's not them. It's you. So why are you experiencing this same thing? Yeah, that awareness does then help you connect the dots.
Yeah. So moving on to more, a little bit diving into a question on slight tangent of the technological side. So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the booklet, the listening to songs from one to however many. I saw at the show that we were at that you were selling vinyls. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work you put into it, because you guys put a lot of hard work into your creations. I'm sure you are aware that vinyls, even cassettes and CDs, are making a comeback. Vinyls last year in the UK, 5.9 million, the biggest since 1990. Cassettes and CDs, like I said, also on an upward trajectory. But then we have these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your perceptions and observations of the landscape we're at the moment?
Yeah, I want to go back to that CD thing. I can't believe that that's kind of, I wouldn't say like taking off again, I guess, but I guess there's definitely a buzz. You know, that's pretty cool. It's funny because I had some CDs at the last show and people were buying them. I feel it was quite momentous. I guess it's more like a little, you know, I don't know, like a little trinket that you get to take home.
Yes.
And, you know, still keep in its plastic packaging. A lot of that people would buy it and say, don't open up the plastic, you know. Oh, okay. So it's great. It's great to keep track in a different format now of what your music is doing, where it's streaming, etc. The infrastructure of that, meaning like how to be able to generate a good income from that monthly from streaming, is very possible. Yes, we are talking high numbers here that one would need to accumulate in order to see some sort of real money from it. But I think if one really hones in on making sure that all those boxes are ticked and making sure that your publishing house, or if you yourself is doing your royalties every 6 months, or whoever your distributor is, I think my main advice, if I can give on that, is just to keep tabs on it. And also to know, like, if you're the artist and you feel, look, this isn't maybe my strength, to be able to reach out to someone who is maybe in that sector and go, look, is there a way that I can pay you like a monthly little fee and you can help me sort out my admin?
Yeah.
Or you can help me see if I've registered all my songs, or so. I like the process of that. I don't necessarily like doing it. It can be quite intense sometimes. And also, I don't necessarily understand the behind the curtain stuff, what goes on behind things. But of course, if you're an independent artist, you need to know that. So it's about educating yourself and doing courses. There's quite a lot of workshops, especially free workshops that one can attend. So it's good. Yeah. You know, you hear a lot of artists complain about, you know, the streaming, and then you hear a lot of good stories as well.
Yeah.
And lately I've been hearing a lot of good stories from independent artists.
Okay. So what's up coming up next? What's plans? What releases? What's happening up for the next, the rest of the year?
So for the rest of the year, I'm busy writing at the moment, specifically with people in Nashville that I'm going to be seeing soon for a body of work that we're putting together. So that's good. We're definitely coming back to South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
No dates just yet, but we're trying to get back there before the end of this year, 2024. And then I've got so many moving parts. So just releasing new music, writing new music, and traveling, and then planning a tour to come back. Yeah. And playing more shows here in London.
So, Anna, I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 years, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once he finishes your face, 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those songs be and by whom?
I think it's quite easy. Okay, so 5, top of my head. Anything by Johnny Cash, any track will do. Probably Folsom Prison Blues. The second one, I'm probably like Taylor Swift, Down Bad. Yeah. I'm merely thinking of what's rotating right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, and then, oh my gosh, anything by Tribe Called Quest. Okay. I'm in for some old school hip hop. Anything by one of my favorite bands called Future Island.
Yes.
Yeah. And then 5. And this is going to sound up my own bum hole, but it'd probably be one of my own tracks. But can I just tell you why it would be one of my own tracks?
Of course, yes.
I'd probably be preparing for a show and I need to learn the lyrics.
Okay. So
that would be the only reason why that song is there. Yeah.
No, but that's a good reason.
Yeah.
So, Anna, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Oh, man, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I hope that where you find yourself in life, in the season of life that you're in, that you're figuring it out. We're all just figuring it out. And don't worry, we will never have it figured out. But be playful. Always keep reminding yourself that nothing serious is going on here. And I hope that whatever you're doing, that it just enriches your journey to become more and more self-aware.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.